No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I am Jill. What a joy it is to be here with each and every one of you on this third day of August. It is all brand new. It is all right here in front of us. A brand new page, crisp, clear, white, clean. The slate is blank. We get to write the story of our lives, what we do and say, what we think, what we act upon. That will be the story that we are writing on this brand new chance to start all over again. I'm going to take that new mercy. It was waiting for me before my feet hit the floor, and I knew I was going to need it, so I took it. I am so glad to be here with each and every one of you. Today, we are going to continue in the book of 2 Chronicles. It's a brand new week. We're starting a brand new translation. We're reading 2 Chronicles chapters 32 and 33, and this week we are reading the New Living Translation, 2 Chronicles chapter 32. After Hezekiah had faithfully carried out this work, King Sennacherib of Assyria invaded Judah. He laid siege to the fortified towns, giving orders for his army to break through their walls. When Hezekiah realized that Sennacherib also intended to attack Jerusalem, he consulted with his officials and military advisors, and they decided to stop the flow of the springs outside the city. They organized a huge work crew to stop the flow of the springs, cutting off the brook that ran through the fields. For they said, "Why should the kings of Assyria come here and find plenty of water?" Then Hezekiah worked hard at repairing all the broken sections of the wall, erecting towers and constructing a second wall outside the first. He also reinforced the supporting terraces in the city of David and manufactured large numbers of weapons and shields. He appointed military officers over the people and assembled them before him in the square of the city gate. Then Hezekiah encouraged them by saying, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria or his mighty army, for there is a power far greater on our side. He may have a great army, but they are merely men. We have the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles for us." Hezekiah's words greatly encouraged the people. While King Sennacherib of Assyria was still besieging the town of Lachish, he sent his officers to Jerusalem with this message for Hezekiah and all the people in the city. "This is what King Sennacherib of Assyria says. What are you trusting in that makes you think you can survive my siege of Jerusalem? Hezekiah has said, 'The Lord our God will rescue us from the king of Assyria.' Surely Hezekiah is misleading you, sentencing you to death by famine and thirst. Don't you realize that Hezekiah is the very person who destroyed all the Lord's shrines and altars? He commanded Judah and Jerusalem to worship only at the altar, at the temple, and to offer sacrifices on it alone. Surely you must realize what I and the other kings of Assyria before me have done to all the people of the earth. Were any of the gods of those nations able to rescue their people from my power? Which of their gods was able to rescue its people from the destruction power of my predecessors? What makes you think your God can rescue you from me? Don't let Hezekiah deceive you. Don't let him fool you like this. I say it again, no God of any nation or kingdom has ever yet been able to rescue his people from me or my ancestors. How much less will your God rescue you from my power?" And Sennacherib's officers further mocked the Lord God and his servant Hezekiah, heaping insult upon insult. The king also sent letters scorning the Lord, the God of Israel. He wrote, "Just as the gods of all the other nations failed to rescue their people from my power, so the God of Hezekiah will also fail." The Assyrian officials who brought the letters shouted this in Hebrew to the people gathered on the walls of this city, trying to terrify them so it would be easier to capture the city. These officers talked about the God of Jerusalem as though he were one of the pagan gods made by human hands. Then King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, cried out in prayer to God in heaven. And the Lord sent an angel who destroyed the Assyrian army with all its commanders and officers. So Sennacherib was forced to return home in disgrace to his own land. And when he entered the temple of his God, some of his own sons killed him there with a sword. That is how the Lord rescued Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem from King Sennacherib of Assyria and from all the others who threatened them. So there was peace throughout the land. From then on, King Hezekiah became highly respected among all the surrounding nations, and many gifts for the Lord arrived at Jerusalem with valuable presents for King Hezekiah too. About that time, Hezekiah became deathly ill. He prayed to the Lord, who healed him and gave him a miraculous sign. But Hezekiah did not respond appropriately to the kindness shown him, and he became proud. So the Lord's anger came against him and against Judah and Jerusalem. Then Hezekiah humbled himself and repented of his pride, as did the people of Jerusalem. So the Lord's anger did not fall on them during Hezekiah's lifetime. Hezekiah was very wealthy and highly honored. He built special treasury buildings for his silver, gold, precious stones, and spices, for his shields and other valuable items. He also constructed many storehouses for his grain, new wine, and olive oil, and he made many stalls for his cattle and pens for his flocks of sheep and goats. He built many towns and acquired vast flocks and herds, for God had given him great wealth. He blocked up the upper spring of Gihon and brought the water down through a tunnel to the west side of the city of David. And so he succeeded in everything he did. However, when ambassadors arrived from Babylon to ask about the remarkable events that had taken place in the land, God withdrew from Hezekiah in order to test him and to see what was really in his heart. The rest of the events in Hezekiah's reign and his acts of devotion are recorded in the vision of the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, which is included in the book of the Kings of Judah and Israel. When Hezekiah died, he was buried in the upper area of the royal cemetery, and all Judah and Jerusalem honored him at his death. And his son Manasseh became the next king. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 55 years. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight, following the detestable practices of the pagan nations that the Lord had driven from the land ahead of the Israelites. He rebuilt the pagan shrines his father Hezekiah had broken down. He constructed altars for the images of Baal and set up Asherah poles. He also bowed before all the powers of the heavens and worshiped them. He built pagan altars in the temple of the Lord, the place where the Lord had said, "My name will remain in Jerusalem forever." He built these altars for all the powers of the heavens in both courtyards of the Lord's temple. Manasseh also sacrificed his own sons in the fire in the valley of Ben Hinnom. He practiced sorcery, divination, and witchcraft, and he consulted with mediums and psychics. he did much that was evil in the Lord's sight, arousing his anger. Manasseh even took a carved idol he had made and set it up in God's temple, the very place where God had told David and his son Solomon, "My name will be honored forever in this temple and in Jerusalem, the city I have chosen from among all the tribes of Israel. If the Israelites will be careful to obey my commands, all the laws, decrees, and regulations given through Moses, I will not send them into exile from this land that I set aside for your ancestors." But Manasseh led the people of Judah and Jerusalem to do even more evil than the pagan nations that the Lord had destroyed when the people of Israel entered the land. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they ignored all his warnings. So the Lord sent the commanders of the Assyrian armies, and they took Manasseh prisoner. They put a ring through his nose, bound him in bronze chains, and led him away to Babylon. But while in deep distress, Manasseh sought the Lord, his God, and sincerely humbled himself before the God of his ancestors. And when he prayed, the Lord listened to him and was moved by his request. So the Lord brought Manasseh back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh finally realized that the Lord alone is God. After this, Manasseh rebuilt the outer wall of the city of David from west of the Gihon Spring in the Kidron Valley to the Fish Gate and continuing around the hill of Ophel. He built the wall very high, and he stationed his military officers in all the fortified towns of Judah. Manasseh also removed the foreign gods and the idol from the Lord's temple. He tore down all the altars he had built on the hill where the temple stood, and all the altars that were in Jerusalem, and he dumped them outside the city. Then he restored the altar of the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings and thanksgiving offerings on it. He also encouraged the people of Judah to worship the Lord, the God of Israel. However, the people still sacrificed at the pagan shrines, though only to the Lord their God. The rest of the events of Manasseh's reign, his prayer to God, and the words the seers spoke to him in the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, are recorded in the book of the kings of Israel. Manasseh's prayer, the account of the way God answered him, and an account of all his sins and unfaithfulness are recorded in the record of the seers. It includes a list of the locations where he built pagan shrines and set up Asherah poles and idols before he humbled himself and repented. So when Manasseh died, he was buried in his palace. Then his son Amon became the next king. Amon was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 2 years. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight, just as his father Manasseh had done. He worshipped and sacrificed to all the idols his father had made. But unlike his father, he did not humble himself before the Lord. Instead, Amon sinned even more. Then Amon's own officials conspired against him and assassinated him in his palace. But the people of the land killed all those who had conspired against King Amon, and they made his son Josiah the next king. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this brand new reminder of your newness, of your redemption, of your ability to make all things new. Thank you that you welcome us back as many times as we need to. When we come and repent, we turn from our ways. God, help us. Help us. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see. Give us hearts that are moldable, pliable. Hearts of flesh, not of stone. Remove our stubbornness from us, our stiff-neckedness, where we will not even turn to to think that we may be wrong. Humble us, God. Do so in a way that only you can, and we will surrender our pride and humble ourselves to you. Thank you for honoring a humble heart, a contrite spirit. We pray all of this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm Jill. We'll turn the page together tomorrow, and I look forward to this week with each and every one of you. Until then, love one another.
Hi guys, it's Kate calling in. This prayer is for Kayla. Sister, I want to thank you first and foremost for signing up to serve our country. My hat is off to you. I admire you, and I will pray for your needs as you take off for boot camp. I don't know where you're going, but they're generally in really hot places. Father, I thank you for this dear sister, and I thank you that she knew enough to call in for prayer, because she's going to need it, and you will honor her desire to go to you first for prayer and to us second. And we lift her up and ask you to provide for every bit of her need. And boot camp will teach her that. But when she sees your footsteps and your fingerprints all over her journey through it, what a testimony she'll be. And I just ask you to protect her from the evil one, protect her from the heat, protect her from the pressure that's meant to build her up as a military person, but may it be manageable and beneficial for her growth, not detrimental and whatnot. I thank you, Lord, for Kayla, and I pray these things for her in your precious son, Jesus' name. Amen. And Kayla, I just want to encourage you, when you get overwhelmed and discouraged and feel like you are the only Christian maybe, or thoughts like that, call in and ask us to pray for your needs. I certainly will. Love you. Bye.
Hi, Dabsy family. My name is Serena. Been listening for a while. I think it's like my only second time or third time calling in. But my best friend, Renee, she's been homeless for the past 2 years. Really difficult life in general. Known her since we were in second grade. Still best friends. She's to the point where she feels that suicide is her only way out of this homelessness situation, and I'm at a point where I don't know what to do other than to pray for her and to ask and request for prayer from those around the world, believers. I just ask that you pray for her in the spirit, setting all worries and doubts and anything aside, and praying for her, knowing that God can make a move for her. And yes. Thank you, Dabsy family.
Hi, family. This is Faith in Him, and I am calling for prayer for myself for my job. I work for a distribution company, and we distribute non-food items to many stores. I happen to work in a division for grocery stores, and I work in a locally owned company. This grocer has 72 locations. So right now what I'm doing is I'm going to each store and I am doing a reset for the cosmetics. The information provided to my boss, who's been in his position for a little over a year, has been incorrect. For example, I'll go into a store and one cosmetic manufacturer might have a 6 foot wide space and it's 6.5 feet tall. And I'll get there and the space that my boss, the information my boss has, might be that it's 4 feet by 54 inches. That's just an example, but that's happened. Each manufacturer sends kits, which include new fixtures and new graphics. Sometimes we get this stuff, sometimes we don't. I didn't have the labels until 2 weeks ago, and I started 6 weeks ago, so I'm going back to the stores to set the labels for the products. And this is just an example of what I'm running into. So a supervisor came yesterday and told me that I'm going too slow, that I have to speed up, that we're 2 months behind, and none of this stuff was mentioned about what I just talked about, and he pretty much blamed me.
This is Terry from Florida calling in for Steve and Carol from a prayer request on the 30th. Steve has meningitis along with Lyme disease, and you mentioned Carol, who is now diagnosed with another lump that we're going to break it apart in the name of Jesus. So, Father God, you know my name, Tilly. I'm from Florida. Been doing this for a long time, so I ask, Lord God, that you lift up Steve to you. And we pray that you'll comfort his heart first off, but that you will drive out sickness from his person, from his physical being, Lord God. We thank you for his faithfulness to you, and ask that you draw his heart closer to you through all this. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And Carol, your lump is gone in the name of Jesus. You claim that for God's glory and honor. In Jesus' name. DAB, see, this is Chili from Florida, signing off. God bless you guys. Amen.